are finding as we are studying the book of Ephesians is that God has laid it all out right here for us in his word. And I think you will find that some of the options that are presented to us are not quite as successful and not as productive as they say they will be. But tonight, God is going to show us another step in getting our new lives with God working well. How do we move from the old life that we once had to the new God-created life that he wants us to have? Now, last week, we looked at how peace in our hearts and freedom in our souls can be achieved by losing all the lying and being honest. We found that we can achieve peace in our hearts and freedom in our souls by coming to terms with our anger quickly and using it to turn it to a productive change. We looked at how God asks us to be hard workers, to work hard, and to give generously in life. And we also saw that we need to filter our words. We need to be sure that we are saying what is good. We are saying what is helpful and saying what is encouraging. Well, tonight's passage from Ephesians points out something interesting. It points out the effects of us living this new life that God has given us. You see, gang, how we live our lives is going to have an effect on people. I usually tell anyone who will listen that your life and how you live it has a much bigger impact than just on you. Choices and actions that we live out in our new God-fashioned lives will directly affect others. So, for Pete's sake, live life well if there's that much at stake. But this passage shows us that it's not for Pete's sake that we live well. Instead, we see that it's for God's sake, for others' sake, and for our own sake as well. So let's read in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 30. It says this, Paul wrote, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Okay, let's stop right there for now, because the first place that we can affect someone for good is right at the top. Did you catch that? We can affect God himself, it says. So let's make that our first point here. It's for God's sake as we are living our new lives. Friends, this is an amazing piece of theology here. It shows us that the way we live our lives affects God's heart. We see in the Bible over and over and over that God has emotions. We read that God is pleased by Jesus at his baptism. God became angry with Israel over and over in the Old Testament. We also read that God feels anger, jealousy. And now we see that God experiences and can experience sorrow and sadness. Now, just a quick note here so that you don't get this wrong. God experiences emotions, but God is not driven or ruled by his emotions. But the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit here. Nonetheless, God does feel, and he is affected by how you and I live our new God-fashioned lives. One of the passages that serves me as a reminder of how to live and what is at stake is way back in Genesis 39:9. In this particular passage, an Egyptian ruler named Potiphar, he has a wife who is after the young Israelite servant Joseph in the house. She's kind of a cougar, it seems. And she's after Joseph. And Joseph does not go for this. He holds tight to his belief in God and in doing the right thing. And it's Joseph's response that I found fascinating, and I've never forgotten it. Joseph said this, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, Joseph's reason for doing the right thing was for God's sake. That's what he said. That is remarkable because I believe it needs to serve as our basis and our first reason for living righteously. That means always doing the right thing. Righteously means always living, doing the right thing. Let me show you something. Here's what I want to show you. If I was to give awards, if I was to give cash prizes, let's say I was going to give a $5 prize, I was going to give a $10 prize, and I was going to give a grand prize for the answer to this question. I want to show you what the results would be. Here's the question. Why do we obey God? Okay? Why do we obey God? The $5 answer that I want to offer here is because I desire to. Now, gang, that's a good answer. That really is. That's not a bad answer. That's a good answer. That's a winner. That wins $5 in my contest. You see, in our growth, in our new God-fashioned life, we eventually get to the place where we want to obey God. We are moving up the spiritual ladder, and we want to do what's right because I desire to obey Him and serve God. It's a good reason for serving God, and it's a good reason to obey God. You know, Elder Robert, who you met up here before with me, was celebrating our haul team and our setup team. Everything that happens here all gets done from 5 o'clock from two trailers, our haul teams and our setup teams. And Mr. Robert was celebrating them last week. And I'll give you kind of a gist of what was said by that team last week. He said, God calls us to serve Him, and we obey that. They said, we want to serve Him. They said that, you know, we come here at 5 o'clock, and they said these things. Each of us come here at 5 o'clock, and we enjoy each other's company while we work. They said, we have a good time. We want to do this. In fact, Miss Linda always has pizza delivered for our setup team workers. And they said, we enjoy that. They said, we want to obey God's command to serve Him, and we do obey it. We serve God because I desire to. It's a good reason, and it serves as good incentive to obey God. That is our $5 winning answer, okay? Let me give you another answer to this question. Let's ask the question again. Why do you obey God? $10 answer, okay? It benefits me. Ooh, that's a good answer. You see, that's a $10 winning answer. Serving God is beneficial to me. That is true. Obeying what God said is beneficial to me. God says this, don't get drunk. Don't get drunk with wine. He talks about it, don't get drunk. Now, that obeying that command of God benefits me that I will never lose my license for drunk driving. Never. That's a good command, and it benefits me to obey that. God commands me to love my wife like God loved the church. I will benefit greatly by obeying that, in that I will have a happy life and a great relationship with my soulmate. Happy wife, happy life. See, if you obey God, it benefits you, doesn't it? See, it's good. That's a good $10 answer. Even Jesus said, store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Paul encourages us to do the same. Obeying God for our own good is a wise reason for obeying God. And if you want to find life to the full, obey God by living righteously. And that, my friend, is a $10 winning answer. You with me so far? Okay, those are good answers. $5 and $10. One last time, let me ask the question. Why do you obey God? Here's the answer. Because God said so. I obey for God's sake. Now, right now, there should be bells and whistles going off. There should be confetti falling from the sky because that, you just heard the $1 million answer. Yeah, that's the best answer. We should obey God because he said so. Obey God for his sake, just like Joseph said. Remember what Joseph said? How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? That gang is a $1 million reason for obeying God. Now you ask, well, why is that, Drew? That sounds like something my mother used to say. That ain't $1 million answer. Well, it's $1 million answer because it must serve as our foundational and unchanging reason to obey God. Look, we got the, I desire to serve God. It benefits me, and God says so, so we do it for God's sake. We all long, gang, to get to that top level. We all long to get to where we obey God because I desire to. But guess what? Even Jesus got to a place where he didn't choose, he didn't want to obey God if it was his own choice. Remember in the garden? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He did it. He obeyed, but he didn't desire to do that. There are going to be things, gang, that we need to do. There are going to be times that we need to go through that we don't want to. We don't desire to experience those times. And if the reason, if you're banking on this $5 reason, obeying God because we want to, there are going to be times we don't want to. And that's when this $5 answer leaves us flat. That's why, although it's a good answer, it's only a $5 answer. How about level two? Level two will get us pretty far in doing what God wants us to do as long as we see the wisdom, as long as we see the good that's going to come out of it, as long as we see the help that it brings to us, then we'll obey God. But God will often ask us to do or go through what seems bad. God will often ask us to do something that seems crazy. God will often ask us to do something that seems to have no hope of any positive outcome in it at all. And so, our $10 answer leaves us saying, I don't think I'll obey you this time, God. I don't think that's what God wants me to do because I don't see the good that will come out of it. And I don't see how it will benefit me. That, gang, is why obeying God because it benefits me is only a $10 answer. But lastly, our grand prize for obeying God, because he says so, it's for his sake. The old God said it, I read it, and that settles it. You know, gang, this must serve as our default reason for why we obey God. It's what Joseph rested on when he simply said to Potiphar's wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Gang, we need to put this truth as the foundation of our thinking in our new life with God. Why should I forgive that coworker who's so horrible to me? Why should I forgive them? Because God says so. It's for God's sake that we do that. Why should I sacrifice doing what I want to do to be at church? Well, because God says so. It's for his sake. Why must I watch what I say while others say whatever they want to me? Because God said, that's what we do. It's for his sake. 10 years ago, God whispered in my ear, Drew, you need to start a church where you live. No more traveling across the state to be a creative arts pastor there. You need to keep your job at the fire department while you do this thing. God spoke to my heart. Says, you need to rent a school, although you have no money. You need to pray daily for me to raise up a team of co-workers that'll do Westbridge with you. You and all the others that I'll send to you must be faithful to make it happen every weekend. Oh, and you'll do all this for my sake. The takeaway I want to offer you guys is this. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to do that may not make sense to you? Because guess what? Join the club. What is God asking you to do that may not seem desirable to you and may even seem hard? These are the times we say, I will obey God for his sake. That's our first reason. Let's keep moving on. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. See, the next effect our living the Christian life has is for others' sake. Gang, we are best served remembering that our choices and our actions affect more than just us individually. Paul points out all these things that affect other people. Our bitterness at someone. Our rage, our anger, harsh words at someone. Slander, all types of evil behavior. He points to our kindness, not to yourself, but to someone else. Our tenderness with others, our forgiveness. Our good and our bad all affects others. Have you seen the new TV commercial that's out that's trying to get you to buy satellite TV? Have you seen this? Where the dad gets angry because his cable isn't working. So he slaps the TV and his daughter, little girl, is watching and she is affected by him and she slaps the table. And then we learn as the commercial goes on that she goes to school and she was affected by what she learned by her father. So she slaps books out of kids' hands. She winds up in detention where she runs into undesirables, as they put it. She winds up marrying a guy in a band. They have a baby and they put a dog collar on the baby. And in the end, they tell the father, don't let these things affect your child. Get satellite TV. The commercial's quite silly, but the truth that it's spoofing is real. Your Christian walk affects other people. It affects people other than you. I talked about men's group with Mr. Robert. I go to men's group, and I listen to men tell the story of what they're doing in their walk with God. And what they say inspires me, and it powers me to change. I hear men who are trying to repair relationships with loved ones that my men are quick to point out and admit they messed these things up. And even without knowing it, their actions, their attitudes, these men inspire me to do more in my life like they're doing. I see men fighting for their children through prayer. I see men investing time and effort and sacrificing to guide their children towards God's truth. Without even knowing it, they're moving me in my heart to be more like them, more like God. And I also learn how powerfully my walk with God can wound those around me who are counting on me for an example. An example of an overcoming Christian walk with God. So I want to get a little participation from you guys here on this next part. We're going to do a takeaway. This is where we actually apply the Bible. We've learned the truth. Now we're going to work on a takeaway together. I need your help. So the takeaway is this. It's on your paper. List the people who your actions and choices could have a possible effect on. Does that make sense? Just need you to let me know. You're going to make a list. But I need you to let me know. And as always, I know how to elicit an answer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So think about it. What? These are not from FitBridge. All right? You won't find these at FitBridge. You find this at DrewBridge. All right? So I need you to help me. Now, if you can tell me who, and maybe even give me an example, that'd be wonderful, of how one of your actions, one of your choices could, didn't say did, you don't got to put yourself on a hot seat here, just hypothetically could, and give me how that could affect someone. So who wants to be the first to try and win a prize? All right, Miss Tina, what action or a choice could affect someone else? Maybe an example. Oh, so a choice you make of letting your anger go too far could affect your children. Have you seen the commercial about, oh no, we already did that. Okay, yeah. With the, yes, very good. You can put that on your list. Yeah. How you choose to deal with your anger could definitely affect children. Very good. Your choices have a bigger impact, gang, than just you. Need another one. Another one over here. Mr. Darrell. Yes.
And because what that does is our children and those around us see our struggles, see our successes, and they say, you know, this is worth it. And our generations that are following will see how what we're willing to do to make this happen for the glory of God.
Yeah, what Mr. Darrell is saying is that choices we make in our marriage to work on a marriage, to work through difficulties, is going to be seen by our children. And maybe cause them to be people who believe in marriage and believe it can be worked through and know it's work. Mr. Darrell, you're going to get a nice treat for that. All right, I'm going to move towards the back. There you go, buddy. All right, you can have that after Fitbridge. Suck that down. That'll be good for you. All right? Who wants to take a stab at this? Okay, here we go.
Co-workers.
Co-workers can be affected by a choice or a decision you make. What kind of choice or decision?
Just a choice to get to know God better. Bring someone, maybe a peace in you instead of a calmness and maybe what's a calm crazy situation at work.
I love it. When we choose to go through a difficult situation at work, maybe something that's aggravating, crazy, something that's really got things all upset, and yet you have peace in your heart, and you're the calm one, you're the one who handles it properly, that can make coworkers see a difference in you and maybe affect some change for them asking, hey, what's the difference? Where'd it come from? Oh, I trust in God. Jesus Christ ordered us. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll take care of those things. Luke, way back on the back recording tonight.
I'm going to say random strangers. And the reason is, you know, you can sometimes do random acts of kindness to a stranger, and that might snowball to the fact to have somebody else have random kindness.
Absolutely. The way you act towards even a stranger can make a difference. Things that we go through, choices we make. Would you run that back to him, Jake? Thank you. I think you got it, right? I'm going to let you finish the list at home because there's none left. None left. Hey, Robert. Fitbridge. I'm going Fitbridge. All right. So we've seen two considerations that we must be aware of when it comes to our walk with God, right? First, we saw we have to be aware that it's for God's sake that we obey. Second, it's for others' sake. And there's a final area at stake here. Everything we move to chapter 5, verse 1. It says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. This talks about an inheritance, doesn't it? Now, these are the people that are doing the wrong things, living unrighteously, living outside, not living a God life, not coming to God and having him get the new life, will not inherit it, but it works the other way around. We will inherit it if we are if we come to God and ask him to take away our sins and make us his children. So, the last one is for your sake. All right, put that on your outline. Now, as we talked about earlier, this is a winning answer, right? This is not a bad answer. I think we made this our $10 answer. We obey God for our personal benefit. Now, don't forget that we don't just jump to this one. We've already put God as the foundational spot on our list, all right? We've installed others in the next spot. But we cannot forget that God wants you and me to experience life with joyful, productive, peaceful hearts. God wants us. We're his children, and he wants the best for us. He wants us to experience life to the full, Jesus said in John 10:10. In fact, Paul calls it inheriting the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, Paul is not just talking about inheriting the kingdom of heaven after we pass. He is talking about inheriting the kingdom of God here and now as well. So, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, Paul reminds them to love others. This is how you will find happiness. This is how you will find peace in your heart. He then says in verse 3, to enjoy sexual relations where they're intended to be experienced. In marriage between a man and a woman. And once again, did you catch this? If you were with us last week, once again, Paul points to our words. He points to our mouths, our conversation, our wholesomeness of tongue. Paul wrote, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Gang, for our own personal sake, we need to be people who speak and act with decorum, not decadence. We need to be people whose conversations are characterized by class, not characterized by crass. We need to be people of dignity, not debauchery. Not crude or rude, but instead poised and proper. I had a young person ask me recently with a bit of an attitude, I might add. He asked me, what's the difference if I curse or talk the way I do? Pleasant little chap. So I said to them, let me ask you a question. If you were invited to the White House, and you were given an invitation to sit at the table with the President of the United States, white cloth napkins, servants filling your water in crystal glasses, and all around you at this table were the most powerful and influential people in the world. I said, how would you speak in their presence? Would you speak crassly and crudely? No. Wise choice. For your own sake at that gathering. You know what language and speech are not for you, don't you? I said to this person, we may not be in the presence of the President of the United States, but we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, right here inside you and inside me. So who do you think merits our efforts more for speaking properly? Those people at the president's table or the one who created the universe? Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. I'm going to ask the band, the worship leaders, to come back. Gang, what Paul sees as he wrote this, what he sees as being so important here, is that we can change. We can change. We don't need to sit here and act like, oh, I'm dead. No. Paul wrote this so that effective change would take place. Even if right now we are characterized by obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, change can happen, and it can start instantly. Paul says we can change. And that as inheritors of the kingdom of God, we should present ourselves to the world. We should present ourselves to the world as royalty, with dignity, with class, and with elegance. I'll tell you what, gang, having money or not having money makes no difference. Absolutely no difference to how much class. Being blessed with attractiveness or not being blessed with it, that doesn't matter either. You can still be elegant and dignified as a follower of God. Whether we were raised in affluence or poverty, that doesn't play into this either. God has filled us with his riches. He has made us heirs, heirs with Jesus Christ in his royal family. And he has indwelt us. He has given each and every one who asks for him to forgive them the beauty of his son, Jesus Christ, inside. Reflect on that as we talk to God.